Begin the current daf, Masechet Tzachon, daf Lamed Vav. Begin on the second line down at the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, quoting the same pasuk. And that is, our Gemara was explaining through Ravasi the halacha of Reb Shimon in our Mishnah. The Tanakh of our Mishnah said, if one slaughters an animal and no blood comes out, so it was never hokshel kabel tumah, and therefore one can handle it even with histam yadayim, which are ashein l'tumah, even though this chul an animal is, let's say, al taras hakodesh, which generally could become then a shlishi. However, Reb Shimon disagreed, and he says, no, it becomes hokshel kabel tumah, becomes vulnerable, susceptible to tumah, through the fact that it was slaughtered and it's now able to be a food item. That itself makes it vulnerable to becoming tumah. Now, on that the Gemara discussed that although he's saying that the dam hashchita is not going to be machshel kabel tumah, but the dam of chalalim, the blood of an animal that was killed, is machshel kabel tumah. How do we know that? Because the pasuk says, v'dam chalalim yishta, the blood of those which were killed, he will drink. You see that it's considered a beverage, which is one of the seven liquids that would go ahead and make a food item susceptible to tumah. Now, it's on that halacha that the Gemara continues and says, tana de Rabbi Shmuel, it's taught in the Braisa in Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, this pasuk says, V'dam chalolam yishta, the blood of those that were killed, he will drink, which is part of the euphemism of the prophecy of Bilam regarding the Jewish people. But one thing that we see is that it's the blood of an animal that was killed. Prat l'dam kiluach, that excludes the blood that spurts, because the way you read the pasuk is the blood which makes the animal or the entity into a chalol, into a dead thing, that's considered a mashke that will be drunk. That excludes the dam hakiluach, because when someone lets blood from an animal, so first what happens is that the blood starts dripping out one by one. Then it starts spurting, and only after that it has the dam hakiluach, after it spurts, then the blood starts getting blackish. As the Gemara explains, increases the chov beis amadal. The Braisa there explains, what's the dam hakaza, what's the blood that's let from an animal, which that's considered the soul is leaving it? That's when the drops start turning black. But the dam hakiluach, the blood that spurts, that's not the dam hanefesh, it's not the lifeblood of the animal, and therefore it's not black. She'ena machshel hasezrom, says the Braisa, that blood is not going to make the seeds, which not necessarily just seeds, it's just because that's the terminology of the pasuk, v'chiyutin mayim al zera, but it's any food item, it's not going to make it susceptible to tumah, it's not called dam chalalim, it's just called the dam hakiluach, it's not the dam hanefesh, it's not what makes the lifeblood leave, and therefore that's not going to be machshel l'kabel tumah. Now, continuing on these halachas from the previous staff, going back to the halacha of our Mishnah, Tarban Lunna Braisa, Hasheichet Vehitiz Dam. Someone is slaughtering an animal and the blood sprays in the beginning of when he's slaughtering, so he's doing the beginning part of the cutting of the neck of the animal, and the blood sprays out, and it sprays Al Hadalas. There's a gourd, a type of a vegetable from the pumpkin family that's detached over there, because if it's attached, not Makabel Tumah. And it's a vegetable of chuma, which if it becomes tummy, then it's not able to be eaten. And the blood sprayed on that gourd. So Rabbi Amahuksha, Rabbi says, oh, that blood now makes this gourd susceptible to tumma, because it has to come in contact with one of seven liquids for us to be able to even become tummy, if something later, a tummy item like a dead cherit falls in it. And Rabbi Chiyoy Mitoil, and he says, no, it's suspended, which the Gemara later on is going to explain, actually, Machlaik is, what does this toilin mean? Now, continues the Braisa Amr Baishi, he says, Ma'achash Rabbi Emahokshir. Okay, so we have Rabbi saying that it is susceptible to Tumah. Rabbi Chiyoy Mitoil, Rabbi Chiyoy says, no, it's not Machshel Kabel Tumah, it's suspended. So, on Ami Nismach, so who are we going to rely on? Like Rabbi or Rabbi Chiyoy. So it says, Ba'i V'nismach Adiv Rabbi Shimon, let's go support ourselves and somewhat rely on the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which this is what relates back to the Halacha of our Mishnah. Shahar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon said, Shchita Machshars V'loy Dam, which the way we explained in the previous daf from Ravasi, that he holds that only the slaughtering makes the animal susceptible to tumah and not its blood. So what Rabbi Yishai is saying is, in a way, Rabbi Shimon supports the opinion of Rabbi Chiyoy, because both of them are saying that the blood's not machsheret, although as we're going to explain for different reasons, but ultimately they're both saying the same thing. Therefore, Rabbi is like one against two. So we'll go with the majority of the two, that is like Rabbi Chiyoy and Rabbi Shimon, and therefore we're not going to say it's hokshel kabel tumah. The most we're going to say that it's going to be toilet. What's the interpretation of this braisa? So Amar Papi says as follows. Says, Hakol Maidim, everyone, meaning this machlekes in the braisa between Rabbi Chiyoy and Rabbi, they both hold, not like Rabbi Shimon, as we'll see, of our Mishnah, but Hecha de Isa Ladam, where the blood is and was on that dalas, on that gourd, Mitchila Vatzaif, throughout from the beginning of the slaughtering till the end of the slaughtering, and that is the blood was not wiped off at any point in time. Kuli Amalei Pligi de Machshir, says Rav Papa, no one's going to disagree that that blood is going to make that gourd vulnerable to tumah. Now, the reason for that is because since it was there throughout the Shechita, it's considered blood of the slaughtering, which they hold, not like Rebbe, because we have a different pasuk that says, that the blood that was from the slaughtering is compared to water, and just like water would be machsh from the kalbatama, so too it would be. And here, it's considered dam of the Shechita, because even though it sprayed out in the beginning, but it was there throughout the entire Shechita, and that is entirety of that Shechita, therefore that's going to be machsh from the kalbatama. Ki pligi, when do they disagree? Is b'niskaneach adam bein simen l'simen. So starting to do the slaughtering, blood sprays from the beginning of the slaughtering, and quickly someone wipes off the gourd between the first pipe of the animal being cut before the second pipe is cut. What's that machlokes? So Rebbe explains as follows. It says, Rebbe Savar, yeshna l'shchita mitchil v'tzeif. Rebbe holds that the slaughtering, the act of slaughtering, is the entire of the entirety of the action. From the beginning till the end is considered all part of the act of slaughtering. So therefore, v'hai dam shchitu. This blood, even though it was wiped off all the way in the beginning, and it was only from the blood from the beginning, it's blood of slaughtering, because slaughtering is the entirety of the act. And we said dam of shchita is compared to water, and therefore it was machshel lekabel tum already. You wipe it off, it doesn't make a difference. Already was separate, vulnerable. But Rebbe Chiya Savar, he holds no. Ein el shchita ele b'sayif. The act of slaughtering is not the whole act. It's when you finish. Then that moment you did the slaughtering. So therefore, if it was wiped off before the second pipe was cut, it wasn't yet called dam of shchita, because it wasn't there at the time when slaughtering was done. Rather, a haidam makuhu. That's the blood of a wound. I mean, if it was there the whole time, like Rav Papa said, so then we could say, oh, that's obviously the blood of the shechita. But if it's wiped off, and it's not there anymore to be the blood of the shechita when the slaughtering is done, and that's what Rav Chiya says, since that's only at that point that it's considered shechita, up until that point, even the whole act going up until then, is not yet called dam shechita. So if it's wiped off before that point, that's why he says it's not going to be machsh lekabel tumah. Now, according to this interpretation, it says Rav Papa, my toilin. So what does Rav Chiya mean when he says, not like Rebbe, that's machsh lekabel tumah, it's suspended. It's toilin hadav, it's that we suspend this idea, if it is going to be machsh lekabel tumah or not, ad gemar shechita, until the end of the slaughtering. What does that mean? Iis ladam b'soiv shechita machshir. That is, we wait and we see. It's sprayed right away. Oh, toilin. Rebbe holds no, right away it's hokshar, no matter if you wipe it off or not. Chiya says, no, we suspend it. What do you mean we're suspended? We're waiting, we're hanging in suspension. If this blood stays here till the end of the slaughtering, then it's machshir. Because only at that point could we say then that the blood is a dam shechita. It's only at the end that it becomes shechita. But if it doesn't stay till the end, if it's wiped off, then it's not machshir. That's the opinion of Rebbe Chiya. That's not the machshir then. Now, umay boyu v'nismach adiv Rebbe Shimon. What did Rebbe Yishu mean that, oh, okay, so if this machlik is Rebbe Chiya and Rebbe, essentially what Rebbe Papa is saying is, according to Rebbe, if it was wiped off, it's still machshir. According to Rebbe Chiya, it's not machshir. So what's Rebbe Yishu saying? Okay, so who do we pass? Like, how do we go? Like, let's rely on Rebbe Shimon, but that's difficult. L'Rebbe Shimon loy machshir. According to Rebbe Shimon, the blood of the animal when it's slaughtered never makes a food item, an animal, susceptible to tumah. So that doesn't support Rebbe Chiya, because Rebbe Chiya machshir. According to Rebbe Chiya, it could. If it stays on, it is machshir. He holds that dam shechita makes it hoksh l'kabel tumah. It just has to be there at the end. So how are they saying the same thing to say it's two against one? So that says the Gemara, b'niskaneach. The case that Rebbe Chiya and Rebbe disagree about, which the case of when it's wiped off in the middle, Mihu, however, over there is where Rebbe Shimon supports Rebbe Chiya, because there, Ashav l'hadadi, there they are the same. Because Mar l'machshir, in that case, when it's wiped off, Rebbe Chiya holds not hoksher. Or Mar l'machshir, and there also Rebbe Shimon holds not hoksher, although coming from different reasons, but there they both agree that it's not hoksher. So Havali Rebbe Chad, so that would be Rebbe one opinion. We don't go with one opinion against two, and that's what Rebbe Yishu meant to say, that we're going to pass on like Rebbe Chiya when it gets wiped off, because there him and Rebbe Shimon both agree that's not hoksh l'kabel tumah. Rebbe Shimon because he holds it never machshir, Rebbe Chiya because he holds shechita is only at the end, and it wasn't yet there at the time of the shechita. That's one interpretation. Rav Ashi Amar, he disagrees. He says no. The interpretation of Rav Papa is flawed because Tylan, which is in the opinion of Rebbe Chiya, loyla mashma. When you say something suspended, that generally means to say forever, until a Yah Nabi comes and tells us what the halach is. A Tana generally doesn't say the word toilin to suspend it until it's figured out at the end of the act. So therefore, says Rav Ashi, b'niskanech l'Rebbe Chiya, The case that we're explaining is the machleik is between Rebbe and Reb Chiya, when it's wiped off in between the two simonim, explains Rav Ashi, not like the way Rav Papa said that, according to Reb Chiya, it's for sure not going to be ma'ach shel kabbalat tumah. No, the word suspend is actually forever. It's not just till the end of the shechita. Sfuki misafkele, because he's in doubt. I yeshna l'shechita mitchil v'atzayif, he's not sure, is shechita throughout the whole act? Ay ein l'shechita el b'sayif, or maybe shechita is only at the end. Or my toilin, and therefore, what does it mean that we suspend it? Because if you say it's throughout, then it should be machshir, even though it's wiped off. If you say that it's not throughout, it's only at the end, then it shouldn't be machshir at all. But he doesn't know which one it is. So that's what he says, it's suspended, that when it is in that case of wiped off, if it was wiped off before the end of the shechita, and then it touches something of tamei regarding the zroyim, those things we're going to say that it cannot be eaten and it's not going to be burnt because it can't be eaten because maybe it is tamei because maybe it was hochshir. Maybe we're not going to burn it because maybe it's not considered hochshir. My boy ben nismach al Reb Shimon. So he also has the difficulty. And so what does it mean that we're going to rely on the opinion of Reb Shimon? But Reb Shimon le machshir. According to Reb Shimon, it never makes it susceptible to tama. Reb Chiya is faker. According to Chiya, he's in doubt. So how are they saying the same thing? Says the Gemara, for me, he has to say similar to our papa that, but regarding burning this truma gourd, they're saying the same because marloi sarfi and marloi sarfi. According to both Reb Shimon and Chiya, not going to burn it. According to Reb Shimon, because for sure it's never hochshir, because dam of the shechita is not machshir. According to Reb Chiya, he's not sure if it was machshir or not. But you don't burn it in the situation of safik. You don't need it, but you don't burn it. So Havli Rabbi Chatz, Rabbi's one opinion, who he says that it is hochshir and you would burn it. He's one opinion, and we don't look at one opinion in contrast to two opinions. And this is what was being said here by Rabbi in this halacha, which Rashi says this is an unnecessary repetition. For example, like in this case where it gets wiped off in between the cutting of the two pipes, when it had sprayed onto this truma pumpkin, this type of a gourd, that there, that's Reb Chiya says, toilin, it's suspended forever, we're not going to eat it, but we're not going to burn it. That's the machlekes according to Rav Ashi, in this machlekes between Reb Chiya and Rebbe, and again, the reason why we brought it in was because it relates back to Lach of Reb Shimon in our Mishnah, which we're using him to support Reb Chiya. The only question is, what exactly was Reb Chiya's opinion in what he means, toilin? Is it because he obviously holds that it's only at the end? Or is it actually he's in doubt, do you say, from the beginning and to the end, and therefore that would make a difference. What does it mean, toilin, in the case of when it gets wiped off, does it mean that for sure it's not hochshir? Or no, actually he's not sure, is it hochshir or is it not hochshir? Now, relating back to this halacha, the Gemara says, Boyer b'shem melakish. Shlakish asked the following question. Tzarit shel menachis. Generally a flower offering, you take the flour, you mix it with oil, and it's supposed to be mixed well, that all the flour has to be touching oil. But Rish Lakish discusses a case where there's pieces, granules of flour that are clumped together in the flour offering that the oil didn't penetrate. There's no oil over there. So the question is, Meinen bei Rishon v'Sheni? Would we say that if, let's say, this mincha becomes tummy, that it's going to go ahead and transmit the tumah to other things too, which would mean counting first level, second level, it will continue to transfer the tumah to other things? Or do we say that no, it will not be counted as to continue transferring to other things to count first level, second level, and so on? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Kimahan yechibas hakodesh. Do we say that this concept, which we're going to later clarify, that there's a concept known as the esteem of hekdesh, which we know that although generally something has to be hochshir l'kabbal tumah, which here we have a solid, we have a food item, the wheat, which is now in the flour state. To become susceptible to tumah has to come in liquid, one of the seven liquids, which is oil, but it didn't touch the oil, it's a clump of flour. But there's a concept known as that the fact that it's hektish already makes it susceptible to tumah. As the Braisa teaches, that we're going to quote later on, the extra word v'habasar and the meat come to include even things that are not generally even eaten, like wood and frankincense. Still, that makes it susceptible to tumah. So now when it becomes tummy, so the question is that concept only lafsule gufe, only to say that the thing itself, even though it wasn't really hochshir l'kabbalat tumah, but it itself, now that it became tummy, will become tummy, meaning if it came in contact with a tummy item, it itself will become forbidden to be eaten, but l'mimni be'rishon v'sheni loy, but to say that it'll even transfer to other things, to be metama acherim, to count first and second level degree tumas after that we won't say. Like the Malishna, maybe there's no difference. This that we say Chibas HaKodesh, that makes it Hukshla Kabotome, even though it's not really in the proper way of becoming Hukshla, it didn't come in contact with one of the seven liquids, that it not only does it become Tome itself, it will even transfer Tome to other things. What's the halacha? So Amar Belazar, he says, Toshima, it's being arrived from the Pasuk. Pasuk says of Yikra, Mikala Eichel Asher Yo'achel Begomer, from all the food items that will be eaten. So the pasuk continues, and it says, "Asher yavei lav mayim." If water is going to come on it, then yitma, then it could become tame. So what do you see? Eichel abam b'mayim hokshur. Only a food item that came in contact with water, one of the seven liquids, is vulnerable for tuma. Eichel she'ein abam b'mayim lo hokshur. But a food item that does not come in contact with water is not susceptible to tuma, and therefore, most definitely, we will not be able to be mayim rishim she'ein to go ahead and transfer tuma to other things. On that answer, the Gemara, Atur Reb Shimon Bar Lakish, what do you think Rish Lakish, who had asked this question, Lesle Eichel Abba Maim, doesn't know this halacha that obviously, generally, we say something is only Hukshel Kabotoma when it comes in contact with water? Of course he knows that. Reb Shimon Bar Lakish, however, Hachikim Ibayli, this was his question regarding Kadshim. Chibas HaKadosh, this that we say that there's this theme of it being hektish, of it being a sanctified item. Ke'eichel haba b'mayim domi? Do we say that it's as if when you have a regular chulin item that became prepared by coming in contact with water, that that's how we consider the hektish item sans water, even without water? Oiloi, or not. Of course you need to have it. But just like we said that it itself could become tummy even without it, did we say it's even like as if it touched the water and therefore could even go ahead and be makshir and make other things tummy? So on that, the Gemara goes back to answer, well, Rebbe Lazar Nami. Rebbe Lazar was also obvious to him that it's not going to be effective to go ahead and be metama other things. Miyuturi kroy kamar. He was coming from an extra pasuk. Because Mechti, let's see. Ksiv, the pasuk says in Mayikra, Chayutin mayim al zera. And if water is going to be placed on the seeds, on the food item, so as the pasuk there continues, if the dead carcass falls on the food item, then it's going to be tame for you. Because it came in contact with liquid, it became hokshel kabotoma. Now the question is, then the previous pasuk, mikol ha'eichel ha'she'achel, which we just quoted before, lamali. Why do we need that pasuk? Well, they're both saying the same thing. For something to be mekabotoma, it has to first come in contact with one of the seven liquids. Why two psukim? Says the Gemara, that's where the Rebbe Lazar was coming from, as we continue to Medbeis. Lav l'mu'ute chibas ha'kodesh, isn't the extra pasuk coming to exclude even something that has the esteem of hektish, that although it will become tame, but it's not like as if it literally had been prepared by coming in contact with water by itself, and therefore although it will become tame, it will not be metame other things, and that was Rebbe Lazar's proof to answer Rish Lakish's question, that it's not going to be mainin rishon v'sheini. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a raya from that pasuk. Because the reason why you need two psukim, they're both teaching regarding chulin, not regarding chibas hakodesh. Maybe chibas hakodesh, you will be mine rishon v'sheini. Why do you need two psukim? Chad b'tumas meskes, one's talking about when the thing that became susceptible to tumah through coming in contact with water, then it became tummy from a mess, from a dead person. The chad b'tumas sheretz, and one is talking about regarding something that came tummy from a dead sheretz, from one of the dead creepy eight creatures. Because the pasuk that says v'chayutin mayim azera, that if the water will be placed on the seed, it says v'nafal nevlasim alav, then from its dead carcass will fall on it. That pasuk is talking about shratzim. So that's what's telling us that it cannot go ahead and contaminate food items only if it was first hukshel kabel tuma. Now the other pasuk mikala eichel, that's coming to tell us regarding tumas ames. Now as Rashi points out, although that pasuk is also in the parasha of shratzim, but that's what Rashi says is what's known in me'ene inyan lekach. If you don't need it for shratzim, because the other pasuk teaching so tenei inyan letumas ames. That's the other pasuk teaching us for tumas ames. Now, so why do we need two psukim? They're both the same idea. They're different types of tumah. Of course, we're teaching you the halach of hukshel kabel tumah. Why would you need both? Says the Gemara Tzrichi, and therefore it's not a right Rebbe Lazar. Diashmin and Tumas Mes, had we had only a pasuk by Tumas Mes, I would say, Hasam hud debay hachshir. That's where, to be susceptible to the Tumah of a Mes, you have to go ahead and be prepared first. Why? Because the Tumah of a Mes is not so severe, because it doesn't convey Tumah the size of a lentil. But by shratzim, which contaminates even so small as the size of a lentil, I would say it doesn't have to be prepared before and get such a severe tumah. Now, v'yashmin sheretz, and have we said it only by sheretz, mishum dolim mitama tumah shiva, I would say that's not such a severe tumah. Because when it contaminates something, it doesn't contaminate for 7 days. Av mes mitama tumah shiva, but when a dead person contaminates something, it makes a tummy for 7 days, which shows it's a very severe tumah. I would say it does not need to be prepared, a food item, to be susceptible to the tumah of a dead person, because it's a very severe tumah. When a person touches his tumah for 7 days, Shricha, that's what we needed both Pesukim to say that no, both of them to be Matama food item is only if the food item had come in contact with water or one of the other six liquids beforehand, and therefore it's not a resolution, it's not a proof from Rabbi Lazar, from the extra pasuk to show to be my Chibas HaKadosh, because no, it could be Chibas HaKadosh. Not only does itself become Tama, even though it was Nahok Shlika B'Tama, but it could even become other things. The extra pasuk is once for Tama Sheres and once for Tama Smes. Now, however, the Gemara continues and says, Master Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks on Rabbi Lazar, and thus resolved the question of Rish Lakish the other way, from the Halach of our Mishnah. And this way it relates back to Halach of our Mishnah. He says, Hukshu B'Shchit, he says, when an animal is slaughtered, it becomes susceptible to Tumah just by the virtue of it being slaughtered, and that now it's fit to be eaten, that already makes it into a Oichel, into a Meichel, to be susceptible to Tumah. But one thing says, Rav Yosef, you say, Rav Shimon said, Hukshu, it becomes fit to become tummy. Sounds like in all categories. Even to go ahead and now transfer to other things, us first degree, second degree, and so on. Because our Mishnah, as we explained in the first sugya in our discussion, we had said that we're talking about slaughtering in the first discussion in our Mishnah, of a chulin animal. Now, by chulin, there's no relevancy to say it itself becomes tummy, because that doesn't make it forbidden to be eaten. Chulin could be eaten even though it's tummy. So what would be the relevancy of Reb Shimon saying that the chulin animal is hukshul kabel tuma? Must be the relevancy is that it could contaminate other things. There could be a problem. Now, am I, but why? How is it transferring to other things? But this is not a food item, this animal that came in contact with water. It only was slaughtered. There was no blood even in the case of our Mishnah. And still we see we count to make other things tummy. So obviously you see, not like the concept of Rabbi Lazar, that even things like Chibas Hektish by Kadshim, that even though it did not become in contact with water, but since we say it could become tummy, it could even go ahead and contaminate other things, like this Halacha of Reb Shimon, where we said that, okay, the fact that it was slaughtered, made into food item, okay, it could be susceptible to tummy, it's already a Michael, it could even contaminate other things, even though it was not Hokshul Kabbal Tumma with coming in contact with water. So that would be the same concept as Chibas HaKadosh, and you see Nalik Rabbi Lazar, and that should answer Rish Lakish's question that it could. On that, Amalei Abai refutes Rav Yosef's proof. He says, no, in the Halacha of HaMishnah, Asu'uhu Kehech Shemayim Midrabanan, they made it when it's slaughtered without blood, just the slaughtering, as if it was prepared through water, rabbinically. But you're not going to go ahead and burn, if let's say this tummy animal touches Truma Kachim, you're not going to burn it, because we don't consider it biblically like that. It's rabbinic law, and that doesn't answer Rish Lakish's question. So Amar B'Zeir, he tries to bring a raya, again, not like Rabbi Lazar, and to answer Rish Lakish's question. It says, Tashmav in the following braisa. Habaytza Lagas, someone is picking the grapes to go ahead and press them to make grape juice, to make wine out of it. Shammai Mahokshar. Shammai says that those grapes that were picked are susceptible to tum already. Now, although the liquid that's coming out of them, he doesn't prefer that liquid because that liquid is just dripping out of the basket and is going to waste, and he actually doesn't want the juice to come out. And generally the halacha is for a food item to mekabel tumah, it says kiyuta and dumya tikiyita, and you have to be preferring that liquid that's coming onto the food item. However, in spite of that, the Gemara brings a Masechta Shabbos that Shammai held that we do make it a problematic liquid to make the grapes susceptible to tumah, as a rabbinic decree that because you might go ahead and pick the grapes in tarred baskets that will capture the liquid, and then you'll want it because you want the juice, and then it will be machshirit, and you'll think not from the other times, and therefore in all situations we consider the grapes as susceptible to tumah. Now Hill disagrees and says no, it's not susceptible to tumah. And Vishasikli Hill Shammai, ultimately, Hill was quiet and silent in front of Shammai and ultimately retracted and agreed to the opinion of Shammai. So Emun holds that these grapes are Hokshul Kabbal Tumah. Says Reb Zeir, Amai, why? V'halav Oichla Bo Mamayimhu. This grape is not something that came in contact with one of the seven liquids. Now, what do you mean? We have the juice that's dripping out, that's Shammai saying is being machshirid. On that, what Reb Zeir is basically saying is that no, he doesn't want that liquid. It's not considered a liquid that could make its hukshul kabbal tumah. It has to be something that you desire. And he doesn't desire. So although rabbinically we understand that you make a decree and we'll consider it, but how could it go ahead and transmit tumah to other things? Obviously, you see Nalik Reb Elazar, and to answer Rish Lakish's question, that even though halachically it's not like it came in contact with a liquid, but it could still go ahead and not only become hukshul kabbal tumah itself, but could even go ahead and contaminate other things. And then Amalei Bai gives the same answer like he gave to Rabbi Yosef. He says, no. Asu'uhu ke'ach shemayim d'rabbanan. They made it as if it was in contact with water. The rabbis made it in that halachic category, which rabbinically, yeah, it could go ahead and transmit tumah to other things, but not biblically. So on that only, Rabbi Yosef says to Abai as follows. He says, look, Amina loch ano, I told you, as the Gemara had previously recorded, to answer Rish Lakish's question and to refute Rabbi Lazar from the case of Huchshu b'shchita. I brought to the halacha of our Mishnah that you see that Shimon does not require water. It doesn't require any liquids, not water, not blood. It's susceptible to tumah just by being slaughtered, and even, as we said, because that has no relevance, we're talking about a whole animal, who cares if it's something, that it could even go ahead and contaminate other things. Of Ad Amrli, and you told me, oh no, this that Rav Shimon says, Hochshir, that was only rabbinically. You said, Asu'uhu Kech Shemaim, that they made it as if it was prepared by water, but it's not a biblical halacha. And so, Tuvam Lach Reb Zeir. Zeir then, he also brought you a proof. From the case of someone who's picking grapes for the wine press, that also you see that you don't need it to come in contact with a liquid, because it's like as if it was in contact with the juice, because he doesn't desire it. And him, you also answered, oh, that's rabbinically. V'amrle, you said to him, Asu'u Kech Shemaim, they made it as if it was prepared by water. So I asked Rabbi Yosef Terabaya, so then, I could take the same pattern, the same thing you're doing. So for Shlokesh also, that he's asking his question, that this Chibes Kodesh that we're saying it does become prepared to be Mekabel Tumah. So when it does become Tumah, and he's asking, could it go ahead and even be Tumah other things? So you should say your same Svara, that yes, it should be at least rabbinically be able to be Mekabel other things, Rishon Visheni. Say also Asu'u Kech Shemaim, that they made it as if it was prepared by water. It's the same thing you're saying. So on that Amalei Abai said Rav Yosef, you're right. Atu Rav Shimon ben Lakish litlis kamibayli. You think Rish Lakish's question was regarding suspending, that if we suspend it or not? And that says Abai, no, it's obvious to Rish Lakish that regarding eating, of course things that touch this Chibas HaKodesh item that became Tamei, of course you can't eat it. Of course you're going to count Rishon Visheni rabbinically. Like I was saying for all these other halachas, even though they were not in contact with one of the seven liquids. Shlokesh's whole question was more than that. His question was, are you even going to burn those things that touched that thing that was not really in contact with one of the seven liquids but became Tamei, in the case of Chibes HaKodesh, are you going to count it biblically a first level and a second level to burn the true Makachim that went afterwards and touched this Chibes HaKodesh thing that was not Hokshla Kabbatumah through coming in contact with liquid, it's just through Chibas HaKodesh, like the clump of the flower. And that question is not resolved from these riots that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Zeir were bringing, because those are rabbinically. Of course, he agrees to rabbinic that it'll be Mayin Rishon Visheni. His question was biblically to not only go ahead and not eat it, but to go ahead and even burn it. That question is not resolved. Now, one thing the Gemara asks, Michlal, the inference is that it was obvious to Rish Lakish that, but regarding the Chibas HaKodesh item itself, that clump of flower that wasn't in contact with the liquid of oil, it itself still is vulnerable to become Tamei, because that prepared is the Chibas HaKodesh Dairaisa. We say that the fact that it has the esteem of being a Kachem item is a biblical halacha, and you'll even go ahead and you'll burn that flower. His whole question was regarding if it touches something else, will you be Ma'ini Rishon Visheni? But it itself, for sure, he understood, because he's saying his question is biblical even to contaminate other things. For sure that he's saying, but it itself, biblically, we will burn. And that is the Gemara Manolam. Where do we know that this halach of Chibas HaKodesh, that even if it was not in contact with one of the seven liquids, it itself could be Mekabel Tumah, if it's just a hektish item? Where do we know this? So says the Gemara, Ilemim Medechsev, if you think it's going to be from the Pasuk in Vayikra. And the Pasuk says, V'habasar Ashiyiga B'chol Tumah. If the meat of a carbon will touch anything that's Tumah, so the Pasuk says, you can't eat that meat, you have to burn it in the fire. If the meat is pure, then someone that's pure could eat the meat. Now, this pasuk is by Kachem. So on that says the Gemara, to prove, seemingly, that this meat is talking about a case of Chibas HaKodesh, and that's how you see, biblically, it's still saying it's becoming tummy, because Hai Basa de Iskasha B'mai. What was this meat became Hukshur, vulnerable to becoming tummy? Ilema Iskasha B'dam, as we said, all food items have to be Hukshur L'Kabal Tumma. Unlike liquids. It has to first become prepared by coming in contact with one of the seven liquids. If it was ilam diskasha b'dam, if you think it was with the blood of the animal itself, and you're slaughtering blood's coming out, the meat became in contact with one of the seven liquids, it could become tummy now, and that's what the pasuk is referring to. But v'amr b'chia b'rabba amr b'yechad, and he says, minayin l'dam kachim, sheinam achshir. How do you know that the blood of kachim items, of karbanis, actually cannot make a food item susceptible to tumah? Shlema, like it says in the pasuk in Devarim, where it starts off, But the blood, loisechlanu, don't eat blood. Ala earth tashpachenekamayim, you let it spill on the ground. Now, what that teaches us is, dama nishpach kamayim machshir, blood that spills like water, what's going to be like water that is machshir l'kabotama? It's only blood that spills like water, because you have no utility for the blood. You can't eat blood. But she'ina nishpach kamayim ina machshir, the blood that does not spill like water, like the blood of kachim, which you don't spill out, actually use it to spread the mizbeach, and the rest is poured down the foundation, that actually is not machshir, it's not like water, it's not machshir l'kabotama. So Ella, what are you going to say? The pasuk is talking about diskashe b'mashki beis mitbechaya, that it became vulnerable to tuma with the liquids in the slaughtering house that are in the azara, meaning there's water there that they would wash the meat off in the butchering house in the courtyard of the beis hamikdash. That's how it became hochshel kabatuma. But on that says the gemara, but v'amr b'yisur Reb Chanin, it says mashki beis mitbechaya, the liquids in the butchering house of the azara loydayin shein dacha. And he says not only is it that it's pure, meaning that it's not going to contaminate other things, as the Gemara says in Pesachim from the testimony of Yosef ben Yezer, Elashei Machshirin. But more than that is that these liquids are not even going to make other things susceptible to tum if it comes in contact with these liquids. Now, and Vachitim, if you're going to say, no, Tirgum, you'll interpret that this halach of Bishop Chanina that says that they're not machshir other things in Kabbalah Tumah is only Adam, is only on the blood that's in the butcher house, because like we said, that's not spilled like water. But you'll say that the water that's there will make the food item, including the meat of the animal, susceptible to tuma. But you can't say that because vamashki come. It says in the plural, the liquids, which sounds like all liquids, not just the blood, but even the water, is not machshir l'kabbalah tuma. So Elalav, rather says the Gemara, isn't it talking about, and this is to prove, diskasher b'chibas hakodesh, how does the meat of a carbon become susceptible to tuma? That the pasuk says when it comes to tuma that you have to burn it. Obviously, just due to the fact of the esteem of it being hektish, makes the hochshel l'kabbalah tuma that the pasuk says you got to burn it. Unless the Gemara knows it's not a proof, because Vadilma could Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Maybe the case of meat becoming tummy of kachim will be like Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul says. Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, he says, it would be Toma, for example, let's say someone has a bull that's a carbon shlam. Now the reason why I pick specifically carbon shlam is for two reasons. One is because the pasuk is actually talking about a carbon shlam. Additionally, is because by a carbon shlam, the meat and the skin, the hide, goes to the owners. So therefore, he takes the effort to make sure that when it's going to be skinned, the leather, the hide, will still be in a good condition. So therefore, what he does is, Vevir Banachal, as he's on his way coming to the Beis HaMikdash, he passes it through a stream right before it's being slaughtered, because that actually makes it easy to skin the hide off, that it comes out in good condition. As the Gemara says in Be'ah Daf Mem Amud Alef, what you could do is you could water and slaughter the domesticated animals when we're talking about the halachas of Yom Tov, because the Gemara there explains that's customarily done, because or else the skin's going to get stuck onto the muscle of the animal, it's not going to be able to be peeled well. So someone that's coming to the Beis HaMikdash for the shlam, he wants the skin to be able to peel well, so he passes it through a stream. Then when it's shachta, when right after that they come to the azar and they slaughter it, v'adayin mashke tefechla, and there's still liquid from the river that's dripping on it, that falls from the skin onto the meat, it's that water, it's not the mashke beis mitbechaya, it's from outside from that stream, that will be machshir the meat l'kabbalah tuma, and therefore again, that's how it's becoming hochshel, but there's no raya that it's because of a chibas hakodesh. So Ella rather says the Gemara no miseifa. It's actually from the end of the pasuk that we quoted. The pasuk says v'habasar, that the meat, whatever is whoever's tar, could go ahead and eat the meat. Now, that word v'habasar is superfluous because the beginning of the pasuk is talking about v'habasar, like it says. So why repeat the word v'habasar? So that says the Gemara, that's l'rabas itzim u'levayna. That's coming to include even the wood, the frankincense. Even that is telling us that even they are mekabel tumas eichlin, although they're not usually food items. People don't eat wood, but they will have the tumah of eichlin, and that's what the pasuk is coming to include. Now the question is: eitzim ulevayna bnei achilin enu? Are wood and frankincense things that people usually eat? They're not. So how are they getting tumas eichlin? Elchibas hakodesh machshir lehu umashvul eichel. Rather, must be because the esteem of it being a hektish item prepares it for tumah and considers it as if it's a food item. So Hachanami say here too, by all kachim, even though it was not prepared by coming in contact with one of seven liquids, for example, like the case where Shlokesh is discussing of a clump of flour in the mincha that the oil didn't penetrate, That it's the esteem of Hekdesh that prepares it. So obviously we see that that's a biblical law, that we would even go ahead and burn the thing itself, which we would burn this flour, even though it didn't come in contact with the oil, if it became tummy. But that's what the question of Rish Lakish was then based on, the Ketian Tab of Lamed Zayin Med Aleph, my. But what is that limit of that status? Do we say that when does it help and it's effective, the esteem of the Hekdesh by itself, even without contact with one or some liquids, is libsulid de gufe, is only to make the thing itself invalidated, like in the case of Rish Lakish, the flour itself. But to count first degree, second degree, in other words, to go ahead and continue transferring the tumah to other things, that life, to that end, we didn't say that. Like demolish, no, maybe there's no difference. It's hochshur biblically, and therefore it's even to contaminate other things. Take a let it stand. That's the question of Shlokish. That question was not resolved.